All right, good afternoon, everybody. I thought Mary just did a really great job of explaining the issue and what we're trying to do about it. And I have to say I've learned from Mary as well about plant blindness, which is it now gives me something that I can label my brother with. Growing up, I took care of the gardens, you know, the vegetable gardens, the flower gardens, and my brother was charged with the mowing. So you can see where this is going. Anything in the yard that got in the way of his mowing was summarily mowed down. And so now, you know, if 40 years ago I had known this term, I could have used that term instead of some of the other words that I used for my brother. But anyway, I'll be seeing him in a couple of months, and I'm going to be sure to let him know that I've now identified him. All right. Like I said, Mary's done just a really great job of explaining the issue of what's going on and what we're trying to do about it. What I think is telling, you know, she showed the stats and that more schools, a lot more schools, were declining than going up. But the fact is some of the schools' enrollment were going up. And I think that gives us hope that there is something we can do about it. And looking back, you know, the survey was anonymous, but nevertheless, I do know of a couple of the schools, and they were significant. I mean, it wasn't a matter of going from 5 to 10. It was a matter of some of the schools going from 100 to 200 students. So we can make a difference. We can make a change in what we're doing. So what I'm going to talk about today is a little bit about some of the things schools are already doing. But we are doing this, I have to say, in the dark. And I'm speaking personally. Maybe some of the other folks out there have a better idea. We're trying all sorts of things to increase enrollment, but we very much need the support of a study, this project, to be able to focus our efforts and really be more efficient about what it is we're trying to do. The other thing, as I'll mention, is these ideas. We're going to focus on NC State because that's what I'm most familiar with, but there's a number of things, ideas that we've done that I have to say we have blatantly stole from some of our fellow universities. So I will try to give credit where I can remember. All right, so I want to give an idea of the folks in our department that are doing this. Get my clicker there. Helen Krause is our undergraduate coordinator. Lee Ivey handles our two-year. We have graduate, four-year, as well as two-year programs. So we've got the full gamut of programs at NC State. And he also handles the face-to-face recruiting. And then we've got Liz Meyer. She's a distance ed coordinator, and she handles a lot of the distance recruiting. First thing is we have to be very clear. We have to have a program that will draw students in, a program, a quality program. So we have to figure out what it is that student wants or needs in some cases, and, of course, what industry needs. We want to avoid the thing which I'm sure we've all heard at various times, which is, well, that student is book smart, but... and then they trail off. You know, they don't have the practical experience. So we have to have relevant courses. We have to have a curriculum that's flexible. These days, students really want a lot of control over what it is that they're studying. Many times they come in with very specific ideas. And, of course, there's still a lot of students that come in with not very specific, and they need some guidance. A balance of science and practical, and internships. That's something we just started requiring and has made quite a big change already, as all the incoming students are required to have an internship by the time they graduate. And we have to make it easy for students to find information and get into the program. And as we all know, universities are not always the easiest at making things easy. Of course, nowadays, the portal for most folks are the websites. You know, I mean, how many times do we get on the web to look for something when before we would call somebody up, you know, or get out a book? You know, now everything is through the web. So departmental websites, they need to be fun, imaginative, easy to navigate. And one thing we've really been working on, and I will give us only a grade of about a B here, is targeting the website from the point of view of the external audience. When we really took a hard look at our website, it was set up for us. It was set up for faculty. It was set up for staff. The key positions in the website were all those kind of things, and if you were somebody, a new student, trying to look for information, you had to scroll down. You know, we set it up for us. Of course, we're using it. Yeah. Some of the things we have done, short videos of each course, something we actually got from Longwood, an idea we stole from Longwood, and short videos of each of the instructors to personalize them and to give incoming students, potential students, an idea of who we are. That's a project that Lee is working on this summer. Something I picked up from Anita Azarenko, and I don't think Anita's here, but she pointed out a while back that the websites really need to reflect who it is we are trying to attract. And when I went back and looked at our website, it was, we actually have a fair number of Latino students in our department now, and there was not a single picture of Latino students. There were no pictures of African Americans. In fact, more of our students are now female than male, and actually most of our pictures were of men. So, we had to do some work there, and that's the last item there, a work in progress. So if you go to our website, you will see some changes, you will see some things, but there's a lot more we still need to do. Looking around at some of the other departments, I picked a couple that I thought were headed in the right direction, more so than even than ours. And of course, I have to say this with the caveat, this is a 51-year-old person looking at a website, and really we're very much looking forward to the study to get an idea of what a 15-year-old would think of the same thing. So please take it with that grain of salt. What I really think they've just done a wonderful job here is the beautiful graphics at the top there, and then this, make the world a better place one plant at a time. We know that a lot of students coming in really want to have an effect, really want to make a change. And so I think that they did just a real nice job of speaking to that. This one's a little bit more like ours and kind of a little bit text heavy, but what I think they just did a great job with is highlighting some of the internships. And I don't know if anybody from Penn State is here, but I have to say, considering all the publicity about Colorado and certain crops in Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, which I'm sure isn't attracting the attention of some of the students, rather than what's the song with the country western singer? John Denver, thank you. All right, I'm dating myself there. All right. And then University of Nebraska here, Grow a Career, which is, just a real nice job, very straightforward, and then, of course, having all the various options down here. So just some very nice websites that are out there already that folks, I think, are doing just such a good job on. Social media, we're not doing as much on this as we need to. We do have a Facebook page. We do have Twitter accounts, Pinterest, and there's various others. We are not actively managing this as well as we should. That is something on this year's task list. But I think some schools are doing much better than this. Nowadays, you have to do this stuff. Scholarships. Scholarships presented us with another challenge and opportunity at the same time. We have, it's probably like most schools, we have a fairly large number of scholarships. We really do. If a student gets in, they're fairly likely to have a scholarship if they have a halfway decent GPA at all and activities. The problem is it's for students that are ready in the department. So what we've started to do is add some specialized scholarships that really would attract the attention of students outside the department. In particular, Bryce Lane, a well-known instructor in our department, retired, and he set up an endowment for travel for students to come in, and they can apply, and they can go on trips. Okay, that really speaks a lot to what students like to do, which is to travel. And we've started adding a lot more scholarships for incoming students, both on-campus and distance ed. Why should distance ed be any different than on-campus? We are offering them scholarships as well. And we started with our two-year program offering scholarships to anyone. And I have to say, I put in quotes here, or I put in parentheses, Oklahoma State, got this from there. They are offering scholarships to anybody who enrolls and attends the university. Our two-year program was going through a particularly steep decline, and so we have started offering scholarships to all the two-year students. And it's just the first year, but we went from 6 to 13 students this year. We need to continue this for a few more years to see if it's going to have a long-term effect. But again, targeting the incoming students. VOTEC and two-year instructor outreach. I think Iowa State does this the best I've seen so far. They have an ongoing program every year. for the teachers, and they just do a really great job of providing training for the teachers as well as using that as an opportunity to help let the teachers know about what's in their program. And we started doing this 2 years ago. We had the second training this year, and that's gone over very well. The other thing is make it easy for the two-year students at the community colleges to get into NC State. We know that a lot of universities are trying to focus on the students that really help them in terms of the national rankings. This would be PhD students among the grad students, and it would be the students coming in from community colleges. So this helps them with their rankings. And so making it easy, articulation agreements with the schools such that students can very seamlessly move from the two-year into the four-year. We are reaching out directly to high school students as well. But we have a basic numbers problem. In North Carolina, we have pretty close to 1,000 high schools. Okay? And so even if we took all the faculty, it would take us years to be able to reach all those schools. So one thing that Lee and Liz did was they took their iPad, they built a little tripod, they put it in the greenhouse, and they did basically recruiting talks for several classes right from the greenhouse via distance. Okay? They did four classes during the day. They were able to reach, close to 100 different students, and without having to drive to the school to do it. Okay? So they're setting that up with other schools. We've also started a network with the alumni. We have alumni spread all over the state, and we are asking them to commit to contacting five schools during the year. Just stopping in, saying hi, offering that if they got any questions. There's some incredible statistics out there about the number of students that the typical guidance counselor takes care of these days at some of these bigger schools. It's hundreds. And so they don't have a lot of time, but certainly if we can offer to be there to provide information, answer questions if they have students that are interested. We have been doing a very good job over the years of connecting with 4-H and FFA. We've had a strong program in that regard. What we are trying to reach out to, Liz Myers is doing this, is reaching out to homeschool and private school recruitment. Okay, homeschooling has been increasing steadily and trying to reach those students as well. One thing that we started 3 years ago, and we had our third year, is Horticultural Science Summer Institute. Basically, in the department, we know it as Hort Camp. Okay? And Oklahoma State University does one similarly. It's called TURF, Camp TURF, and actually where they target underrepresented students, which I think is a really great thing. And some of those pictures are there from this year's camp, which was just about 3 weeks ago. We give them all aspects, plant breeding, tissue culture, even a little bit on molecular transformation. It's really fun to see the green fluorescence program proteins fluorescing under the microscope. We get them up in trees, and here's the whole group here. The first year we had about 15. Then last year we had 16, and this year we had 29, and we had capped it at 30. So it's really, and we amazingly had four students from out of state. How'd they find out? The website. Okay? Internal recruiting. I know a number of universities do this very well. What we started to do was to target the undeclared students. And what we have is a program where we bring over plants. Each student gets a plant. The plants are handed out, and an undergraduate from our department talks about a little bit about plant care, how to keep it alive, how to grow an indoor plant, and then talks a little bit about the program. So undergrad students hear from other undergrad students. And again, we are in our third year of this, and we've had, I think, now two students that have come into the department from that program alone. But again, we need to run it longer to start seeing. And, of course, something that I know several schools do very, very well is getting the general Hort classes set up as general education credits. This is something that we've done for many years, and it's probably been our biggest source of incoming students. Bryce Lane, who recently retired, I think had a whole cottage industry around that alone of bringing in students from other departments, which the other departments didn't always like, but anyway. So where do we go from here? We really need to incorporate the information from this project. We are doing a lot, and I have to say I think we are starting to see an effect this academic year. But having said that, I feel like we're doing a lot of it in the dark. We're sort of trialing things when really we need to be much more focused. And the other thing we need to really develop in our department, and this is on plan for this year, is to develop a coherent pathway. You know, if a student comes into 4-H, what are the activities we're going to direct them towards? You know, what are the programs, you know, for example, the camp, to get them into the department? FFA, or just general students at any of the K-12. You know, we need to figure out what's the next step for each student after we get them into any one of our programs. Our Arboretum has a really great children's program that they just started. So, and we've not done the follow-up on that to make sure that those students then get connected with our department. What's the next step for those students that come through the children's programming? So it looks like my time is so, well, as a matter of fact, there we are. So are we holding questions till the end? That'd be fine. Thank you.